Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Doug Serravo Show. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Now, normally on Faith, Life, and Death, I do a 5-minute summary of Jesus in Red. But I've been reading a book called This is the Day by Tim Tebow. And it's a very inspirational book. Lots of motivation to chase your dreams, chase your goals, to not live in the past. And I think that's something that a lot of us do. You know, we seem to forget what has happened. We don't forget what has happened like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. You know, this is a world where a lot of people hold grudges. A lot of people hold hate in their hearts. They don't forgive. And we seem to forget our purpose on this earth. You know, we seem to forget that the whole point of living life on earth is to get to heaven. You know, many of us, we seem to believe in that mantra, the word that it's called, God, I know what you want, but I don't care. I'm going to live life my way. And we seem to lose focus on that. So there's a part of the book, Tim Tebow, This is the Day. This is one of my favorite books that I'm reading. This is the day. This is the day to say yes to your dreams. Reclaim your dream, ignite your passion, and live your purpose. So today I'm going to talk about the part of the book where he talks about our purpose on earth. And this is on page 48. God created you with an awesome plan in mind. You were made for a purpose to do amazing things. I know so many people who can't wait to get the day over with so they can binge on whatever TV show is trending or numb their existence with other things. At the same time, most of these same people complain about how unfulfilled, bored, or tired they are. Look, I know what it's like to want to get lost in an awesome movie or TV show. There's something to be said about enjoying artful entertainment. It can be powerful and can even inspire us. But often, this medium is used to escape reality. Whether intentional or not, it can be a means to neglect the truth of our lives. When we numb out on anything, we cannot see the joy, hope, and light that exist, even when life is hard. Nor can we imagine the incredible things God can do through us. Some of our ability to thrive come from our own perspective, how we view God, ourselves, and the world. Our view of God, for instance, changes how we view ourselves. Think about how you view God for a moment. Do you believe your faith in God exists just to make you feel good? Do you think the miracle stories in the Bible, like the parting of the Red Sea, the resurrection of Lazarus, or the feeding of the 5,000, are simply stories frozen in time? Or do you believe the same God who performed miracles thousands of years ago is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that he can change your life? Do you believe that through you, he can impact others in transformative ways? Do you believe God can change a life from darkness to light because you decide to step out in faith and give someone a message of hope? Without having this mindset, of course it's easy to numb out and watch Netflix for hours. Without a powerful view of God and knowing what's possible through him, our capacity to thrive is completely diminished. When we begin to see God in a life-changing, miracle-making, and revolutionary way, we can have the courage to take a step of faith. We can do things outside our comfort zone. We can change our familiar routine and old patterns and do things differently, better. Here's the challenge. What if we invested in things that had value, like our relationship with God or our relationship with others? What if instead of complaining about what's not working in our lives, we try to find a solution? What if we committed to improving our spiritual and physical health instead of feeling unfulfilled, sick, and tired all the time? I find that the majority of people I come in contact with are problem finders. It's easy to point our problems, they're everywhere. But like I tell everyone who works with me and is part of our foundation, don't just tell me what's wrong with this or that, or for a solution. Don't be a problem finder. Be a problem solver. So I like this part of the book for many reasons. Because when you think about life, many of us, we complain. This is going on in the world. That is going on in the world. This happened 10 years ago. This happened 15 years ago. This happened 20 years ago. But we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. All we do is complain. We complain about what happened 10 years ago. We complain about what happened 20 years ago. But if you want peace in your heart from what happened 20 years ago, we can learn to forgive instead of holding a grudge. Now, I know I talk about this in prior episodes of Faith, Life, and Death. But if we learn to forgive instead of holding a grudge, there will be peace in the world moving forward. And people seem to not realize that. You know, we all do the complaining. But we don't look to change anything. You know, we all do the complaining, but we don't look to change anything. And how many of us are willing to do that change? You know, and there's a lot of reason why I consider running for public office. Because I feel like I could bring that change. You know, I could stand up for truth. I could stand up for honesty. You know, I'll call people out when they need to. You know, if someone's being selfish, I'll tell them that. You know, if there's people that are being ignorant, hateful, I'll tell them. You know, you can't do that. You know, we want change in the world. We all cry for difference. We all cry for change. We cry how we don't want hate in the world, but are we willing to change that? How many of us are truly willing to do that? How many of us are truly willing to do that? I don't see anyone willing to do that. Now, I'm sure there's a lot that we don't know of, because when we watch the news or we read the newspaper, we hear about, you know, this person got shot, this person got hurt, this robbery happened. You know, we don't really see the goodness in the world. It's out there for sure, but the bad seem to outweigh the good. And if we truly want change, if we truly want change, it takes one person to be an outsider. Because when one person is that outsider, there's going to be change, people. There's going to be change. And I don't understand why people aren't willing to be the outsider. I don't understand why people aren't willing to not be afraid. You know, we're afraid of what people will think of us if we don't stay with the status quo. We don't do what's politically correct. You know, many of us live in that fear of feelings, fear of emotion, because if we say the truth, if we do something that we think is right, if we stick to our beliefs, our values, you know, we get backlash. And I think many of us were afraid of that backlash, and we simply can't be afraid of backlash. Because if we want to see change, we want to see hope in the world, what do you expect? You know, we have to be that outsider. And I'm going to go through Jesus in Red. And we're going to go to today. And today is June 18th. The power of rejection. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6:37-38. Most of us intentionally dislike rejection. It is one of the fears that stops us from sharing the gospel. We are afraid of looking foolish and being mocked. The world is full of people who have been rejected by others, and consequently, they carry hurts and have festered into bitterness. Some are rejected by family, brothers. Brothers reject sisters. Fathers their children, and wives their husbands. Employers fire employees, coaches are tossed from losing teams, and girlfriends reject boyfriends. That's life, and it hurts. But here Jesus promises that he will never reject those who come to him. He is able to save all who come to God through Jesus. When Jesus accepts and embraces lost sinners, he is doing the will of the Father. God stretched out his welcoming arms in Christ on the cross and said, "This is how much I love you." The cross is a picture of the prodigal's loving running to his lost son and embracing him. Luke 15:11-32. It is the ultimate sign of love and acceptance. Now, if you've seen me on my prior Faith, Life, and Death episodes, we do a little bit of a soul search, where I give you time to reflect on what I just said, and if it, you know, if it's similar to what you're going on through your life, experience, whatever it may be. Soul search. Have I felt the pain of rejection? How did it make me feel? Have I completely forgiven those concerned? Father, because of your grace, I am totally accepted in the Beloved. So, rejection. That's probably one of the worst feelings that anyone can go through in the world, is rejection. And I think many of us were in situations where we're afraid to hurt someone. But sometimes you have to cut people out of your life. And that's not what I'm really going to talk about today. I'm not going to talk about that, cutting people out of your life, because I've talked about it in the past on prior Faith, Life, and Death episodes. But rejection. I think some of us were in situations where we're afraid to hurt people. You know, we're afraid to lose a job. We're afraid to break up with someone. We're afraid, you know, I'm in sports, and I think sometimes we're in situations where you like the person. You know, they're one of the nicest guys in the locker room or behind the bench. And, you know, things aren't just going the right way. You want to win games. And that's when you tell them, you know, we have to let you go. And I think that's one of the worst feelings in the world. And I think when it comes to rejection, we seem to forget that no matter how many times we sin, no matter how many times we struggle with something, you know, whatever the sin may be, it could be lust, it could be greed, not forgiving people, holding grudges. Christ, he doesn't reject us. He gives everyone an opportunity to seek reconciliation. You know, you could be struggling with a sin. He's not going to say, "I think it's best if you go." He's going to say, "Come to me. Seek joy. Seek hope. Seek peace." Because when we have Christ, when we go to Christ, he's going to be there for you. He's going to listen to you. He's going to understand you. He's not going to reject us. And when we have rejection in this world, you know, I've talked about it in prior episodes, you know, what is faith? You know, there was one where I talked about, you know, if we don't get a job or something, we automatically think like we're worthless, you know, we're not good enough, whatever it may be. And I think this ties in with that. And when we think about that, you know, sometimes it just happens in life. You get rejected from a job, you get fired, you don't get, you know, you apply to many jobs, you don't hear from anyone, any of them. Doesn't mean we're worthless. Doesn't mean we're not good enough. It just means there are better things for us. It just means God is working on a plan. God is working on something for us. And that's where we find our purpose. You know, what is there for us to do? You know, we may not be where we want to be in life. You know, we may have that feeling of being tired, wanting to watch TV all day, play video games all day. But there is something out there for us. God has a purpose for us. And when God has a purpose for us, it gives us the hope and it makes us see that light in this darkness world. And I don't mean to sound negative. I'm just speaking the truth right now. There's a lot of darkness in this world. And it takes one person to be that change, to be that light. Because when one person is that light, when one person leads, more will follow. Thank you for listening to another episode of Faith, Life, and Death. May God bless you all.